Hi, and welcome to iKyloCast, the only Star Wars podcast guaranteed to make you think outside your comfort zone. Come and discuss metaphysics, fictives, and all things Star Wars fandom with us, and learn what it's like to live with iKylo.
Hi guys, welcome to this week's episode of iKylo. And this is going to be a little bit of a different episode this week. I had some notes, I planned on discussing further a few subjects that we talked about before. The father figure in Star Wars canon is an idea. I had read some more interesting articles about the hero's journey, and I had wanted to talk about that in relation to the anti-hero and the sequel trilogy. But I decided earlier today to throw out all those notes and all those carefully curated points, as opposed to our normal wrangling with the off-topic bell, and talk about something that I've seen discussed a lot in at least the fandom circles that I'm in, and a subject that can be divisive, and I think really to a lot of people, the more I think about it, I think that it's part of what makes Kylo as a character, because of course 99% of people... even people listening to this podcast still see him as a fictional character and nothing else. And I think a lot of the division has to do with this particular subject, but I want to throw out a disclaimer, sort of a disclaimer and a half. The half being that this is my third or fourth take already, and I'm going to try to do this pretty much uncensored, and that doesn't mean there's going to be cussing and swearing. Cussing and swearing are pretty much the same thing. More so that I'm not going to go back and edit a great deal if I can help it. And the disclaimer being that there is going to be a little more personal discussion in this episode. And if Star Wars is a grand space opera, pew pew, you know, pretty lights, things blowing up, is what you're interested in listening to about a Star Wars podcast, if you want to hear us rant and rave about the Cassian Andor series, stuff like that, about Resistance, which we've talked about a lot, this may be an episode that you want to skip. On the other hand, I'd never encourage anyone to skip it, because all of these episodes, as disjointed as they can be, are obviously very personal. The subjects are very personal to us, and a lot of thought, regardless of what you may think, from our format, is put into them. And so I'd never encourage anyone to skip an episode, but on the other hand, if personal struggles, or struggles with personal demons, or things like that, I'll get into it a little bit more in a minute, are something that you're interested in, that you've experienced, that you can relate to, this may be one that you really want to tune in, point your friends, throw us a retweet at iKyloCast on Twitter, send us your comments, questions, iKyloCast@gmail.com. Or obviously at the Tweets of Ren, the Svengali Phantom, that's my normal Twitter. I want to talk about mental illness today, in Star Wars in general, and in Kylo in particular. And this is something that I've talked about a little bit on my personal Twitter. And I've been, in the last year or so, a little more open about my own struggles with mental illness. I'm always reluctant to talk about it, because even though I've seen multiple psychiatrists for things like PTSD, anxiety, a lot of other things, I have been very open with them about sharing headspace with Kylo, sharing body space, you know, being the Tyler Durden of the metaphysical world. I hate using that example because that's just really not a good role model to be putting out there, but, you know, as a joke in passing, you get what I mean. And all of them have classified it under spiritual belief. I actually, a couple of weeks ago when I was trying to set up a guest spot for a couple of university chairs locally to come on the show and discuss the concept, when I told the psychology chair at one of my local universities and I gave him the sort of rundown, he said it sounds, you know, in the same realm as religion, you know, the same belief structure. It doesn't sound like that has anything to do with any kind of mental defect. And I was amazed. I was absolutely amazed, because obviously the first judgment I always get is that I'm a complete nutbag. And I'm not using the word in a derogatory sense. I'm saying I have literally been told that. That is a terminology that a lot of hate mail that I've gotten has used. So over the years, you know, I've come to expect that. So I'm always really hesitant to talk about struggling with mental illness because my biggest fear is that people who don't know us well or who are just new to the phenomenon are going to go, ha-ha, he admits he's mentally ill. You know, he's not, in fact, Kylo Ren. Oh, well, I am not Kylo Ren, but you know what I mean. He's not actually sharing space with Kylo, and those memories aren't real, and they're not valid, and he's crazy. That's what it is. I'm doing the dramatic closet monkey point here, and no one can see me. That's, you know,
it's
a shame.
Nobody's
going to
get that if they might seen Family Guy.
Yeah, iKyloCast@gmail.com. If you are aware of the closet monkey, let us know. I'm a little disjointed because I'm nervous. Because today has been a bad day, and one of the things that I do suffer from is very severe clinical depression, and today was almost a I need professional help day. Even though I've been scared to sort of put it forward, Carrie Fisher, our princess, space mom, you know, the Carrie Fisher, sort of really helped me with that fear over the last few years. She was unabashedly outspoken about struggling with bipolar, which I also struggle with, and she made me a lot more comfortable in sort of being willing to be part of the movement to break the stigma around mental illness, because getting help, there's no shame in getting help. All right, your brain, as an author that I admire greatly wrote, and many people have said, is an organ like any other organ, and things can go wrong with it, chemically speaking. It's not a personal failing, it's not a weakness, it's not some kind of moral ineptitude. It is an illness by default, and there's nothing wrong with getting help. So that being said, that sort of leads me into the discussion where when Kylo was first moving into fandom, he's been around for a while, obviously, but earlier in the year when he was first starting out on his real journey of understanding himself, here in this world with Rey, and he had the privilege of being able to speak to his mother and things like that, when he first moved on to fandom, sort of when we first really became aware that he had his own sort of fandom, there were a lot of people out there who were saying that they identified with Kylo because they had mental illness and they struggled with things like borderline and bipolar, and that they saw similar traits in Kylo, and that they hoped for a redemption arc for Kylo because it gave them hope that they themselves, as people with an illness, could be helped and could be forgiven. And it was hard for him when he was first here to sort of accept that, because, well, it's difficult for us to deal with fandom. If you follow iKylo at all, you'll have heard a lot about how hard it is to hear about your own life as sort of an iconic symbol. But he had a lot of difficulty accepting that role, you know, the idea that many people sort of accepted that Kylo was sort of coded mentally ill. And I think that a lot of the division between the nasty sort of vengeance-minded people who think, oh, well, Kylo, I saw something about waiting for Rey to, you know, shove her lightsaber down his throat in episode 9 and ignite it, you know, earlier today. And I think that a lot of the difference, and this is, again, this is my personal opinion. Your mileage may vary. My opinion may change tomorrow. All right. That's how it works, you know. But this is sort of just, you know, an idea, is that really the responses to Kylo as a villain, as a character, and I hate saying that, really do vary based on whether or not you see the dark side as some kind of affecting force. And if you see Kylo as having had problematic signs before he became, you know, Kylo Ren. And I'm going to put this right out there. I don't think I need to say it, but whatever. I live with Kylo. Okay, he spends every day thinking, at least most of the day, about the things that he's done. Nothing I'm about to say should be construed as, you know, excusing any behaviors as far as that goes. He made his own choices. And even something I try really, really hard to tell myself and work on myself, and it's not easy, and I'm going to admit that publicly, that even with a mental illness, it's not an excuse for hurting people. It is, it may be something that happens, it may be something that you do or don't have control over in the moment. That does not mean that if I, as a person with mental illness, hurt someone, that I am not responsible for apologizing, trying to make amends, trying to make that situation better, nor does it make people around me obligated to deal with it. That is not what that means. That being said, I spent today thinking about calling for help. And I don't mean literally, although that too. I'll admit that too.
Yeah.
I spent the day, that's not fine.
No, I'm sorry.
I spent the day thinking about Kylo and the signs that were there. And it's funny because if you look at Vader, I read a bunch of articles today, and there was a pair of doctors, and I've got their names saved, but rather than going and digging them out, it's really easy to Google, who did a paper, I think 3 years ago, where they took the major personages from Star Wars and gave them psychiatric diagnoses. And, you know, Vader with PTSD and the fact that he, you know, from being a slave and from Mustafar and the fact that he had all or nothing thinking. And they took, and it was interesting as a sort of exercise. But if you try hard enough, you can diagnose anyone with anything. And that's the problem. But that being said, if you look at the original trilogy, before you get into Vader's backstory and all of that, if you take it as a standalone story, all right, from A New Hope to Return of the Jedi, it's very clear-cut. You've got Luke, you've got Vader, you've got good and bad sort of warring for control, and I read an article also that talked about the dark side as a metaphor for depression. You know, the Emperor saying to Luke, you know, use your anger, you know, strike him down, you know, your journey will be complete, you know, and although it seemed oversimplified to me, it did have a sort of poetic application, really. The idea that giving into anger and giving into fear and giving into hate is sort of the, you know, the playing field for things like depression and mental illness, you know, because they're always encouraging you to give into those emotions and to be overwhelmed by those emotions, and that there's no escape from those things, and that fighting that off and struggling with that darker side was a metaphor, which is a really interesting take on it, but not entirely where I wanted to go with that. I think, I don't know if it's self-pity today that's causing me to think this way, or Kylo's experience last week. He spent quite a long time in the front dealing with his personal issues last week, and some of the things that came up, as has happened in the past, were very unpleasant and sort of not easy to deal with and sort of overwhelming. And I could do episodes on episodes describing the things that he's learned. I generally try to keep it to the general sort of overarching things rather than every little detail. But I was thinking about The Last Jedi novelization and how Jason Fry and all of these things are approved by the story group. All of the details and the backstories and things like that. And where they talk a lot about the anger that had, you know, manifested once again in Ben, you know, his, you know, a boy who always seemed alone, you know, and things malfunctioning and things falling off shelves. And, you know, Luke at the end talking about, you know, the broken boy he'd tried to reach. You know, and that he'd pulled Kylo Ren around him like a shell. And it got me thinking about how, you know, what it sounds like to me, and again, your mileage may vary, this is, you know, personal interpretation, but I can't even say that it's my personal interpretation because a lot of people see this, and a lot of people have made this statement publicly in fandom, and to bring it back full circle to sort of my rambling earlier, he wasn't quite ready to accept that, to discuss it and to really sort of accept it as a commonality, I guess, until now. But now, sort of putting it together, you know, troubled children exist. And we've talked about this before on the show because he'd had the conversation with Leia. And I remember we've talked about it on the show because I brought up my notes where they discussed, you know, her saying, well, if Snoke hadn't been a thing, you know, you would have been able to deal with your own problems, and him trying to explain to her that sometimes you just hurt. Sometimes things are just wrong, and it doesn't need to take somebody outside of you to create the problem. Sometimes the problem exists inside and you don't know what to do about it. And
that being said, from our point of view, we still think that it would have been much better, even, you know, on that one level, for it to have just been an internal thing. That way everyone involved would have known it was internal.
I understand that. I understand that, but that's not the point. That's not the point. The point I'm trying to make is I'm trying to imagine, I don't have to imagine, but I mean, I'm trying to imagine a sort of parallel, and it's not too hard to reach for me. Struggling with something that you don't understand, that is causing you to be angry all the time, or depressed all the time, or to rage against things even when you don't know why you're doing it. And to have all of these behaviors be told to you are bad or wrong or somehow just unnatural. And how you grow up dealing with that fear and growing up feeling like some kind of monster, some kind of freak, and how easy that then makes it for outside forces to prey on you. We were talking about this earlier, that's how, unfortunately, cults draw in a lot of people with mental illnesses, because they make it seem like all of the things that everyone else is afraid of. Does this sound familiar? Everyone else is afraid of these things in you. We're not afraid of it. You've got a direct hotline to God. You know, just give us everything you have and give us your entire life, and we'll make you feel like you belong. You know, we're not going to tell you need help or you need therapy or you need this or you need that. And I'm trying to find a way of explaining what it was like growing up with someone. This is going to sound really judgmental, and I don't mean it like this. Someone like Han and Leia, but especially Leia, for whom Vader was the ultimate, beyond the Emperor, because she saw Padme saw Palpatine rise, Mon Mothma saw Palpatine rise from a senator to the Emperor, so he was a known, at least they thought, sort of quantity. But Vader, even to the few people that knew that he was Anakin Skywalker beforehand, you know, Vader to Leia was the ultimate evil. He was the one who tortured her, who blew up her homeworld. If you read Bloodline, it's incredibly clear the hate and the resentment and the fact that she absolutely did not share Luke's point of view in Vader having redeemed himself. And a lot of people, you know, don't share that point of view from what I've seen in fandom. But, you know, still, you know, and then you've got this child who's growing up exhibiting signs that to you are the things that everybody's warned you about. Anger, hate, resentment, fear. You know, you can feel the dark side sort of swirling around them. And you don't have to be a bad person or even a bad parent to be overwhelmed by that. And which is a sad truth. You know, there is, you know, and I if you have a child who, say, throws tantrums, and they're maybe not even tantrums, but just rage snaps and destroys things and attacks people. And it may not be their fault. They may have an illness. But how many times when you are terrified of what you think is the root cause of this, do you have before you sort of are at a loss as to what to do? And I really find it fascinating because, as I started to say earlier, and I'm really bad at going off track and then sort of looping back, but at least I always manage to loop back to where I wanted to be. But in the original trilogy, it's black and white. It's good, it's evil. even the dividing line, that sort of war between the dark side and the light, is very delineated. You know, it's very clearly defined what is good and what is bad. And what's interesting about Kylo's struggle being illustrated on the big screen, and especially the details they choose to include in the canon material, it's like Anakin Skywalker as a child, he had little rage snaps. You know, he got into a fight, you know, with Greedo when he was little, you know, because Greedo said he cheated, no slave could ever win anything, and he jumped on top of him and this whole thing. But he was a genuinely good person. Right, they made it very clear. You know, Mom, you always say the greatest problem in the galaxy is nobody helps each other. Okay, it was almost cloying in how heavy-handed it was, because it was supposed to illustrate it.
Anakin Skywalker didn't lie to his mother.
In the novel, you know, he goes out to sneak drinks with his friends, comes back late for dinner, and could, you know, talks about how he could have made up a story about having to stay late, but he absolutely never lied to his mother. And I mean, he was 9 years old. He, you know, I certainly lied to my mother when I was 9 years old occasionally, you know, and, you know, I don't mean in a big way, but, you know, like the way kids do, you know, what were you doing? Nothing. Yeah, you know, no, but like, you know, were you climbing in the tree? You know, well, I was allowed to climb trees, but you know what I mean? Like just little things, you know, but it was very clearly illustrated that he was because it was supposed to illustrate the tragedy of Anakin Skywalker's fall and how manipulative Palpatine was, that he could turn, and how manipulative the dark side is, that it could turn a really good person into this monstrous sort of killing machine. And what's interesting about the sequel trilogy is that by choosing to include tidbits about Ben's adolescence being troubled, they give us a sort of pre-knowledge of the conflict there, whereas it wasn't a case of he was just a really good kid and he was just a sweetheart and he didn't have any problems at all, and then suddenly here's Snoke and boom. Now again, Leia makes it very clear that from birth Snoke was an influence. Will we ever know what would have happened otherwise? No, there's literally no way to know how that would have worked, all right? Because, and people get mad when you sort of question their relationship and the parenting there. But if you read the Force Awakens novel, Leia says to Han, and again, we've said this before on the show, you know, you have a lot of great qualities, but patience and understanding were never among them. You know, I was afraid your reactions were going to drive him further to the dark side. Who says that? I mean, Leia is not a bullshit artist by any stretch of the imagination. She is not going to soften the blow there. So you have to wonder what in that relationship and what in Ben's history as a child exists there to make that a point of friction, you know? And I'm not saying, you know, they were abusive, obviously, to him or anything, and I'm going to pull that card out of my whatever, and I never, ever, ever use this on the show, but I'm going to use it today. I should know. All right, I'm just going to say that because I need to defend
We need to get the
Leia's honor bell. The I should know bell. You wouldn't even let me ring the off-topic bell. You get mad now.
We need to get different, like, variants of it.
She gets mad now. I've had the off-topic bell for, like, 2 weeks, and she gets mad.
The off-topic bell is at a pitch that, like, immediately makes my teeth grind.
It was the budget off-topic bell, that's why.
We need to get the I should know horn.
But that being said, you know, how do you... Going back to the subject, what do you do when you can't really come forward to your parents and say, I'm struggling with this problem, because your parents are afraid of you? They're afraid of, and it comes back to that, how many times do you try before you just sort of give up? You know, I see a lot of arguments in fandom. Oh, well, he's rejected multiple, you know, attempts to bring him back to the light side. Well, I will tell you something, and I'm going to get really personal. Okay, and I, if you are offended by this, then that's fine. But there is one thing that I have in common with Kylo, because I have and struggle with mental illness and sharing headspace and body space and living time with Kylo. I have discovered that we have this one very unpleasant trait in common, which is that when things are bad, and I don't even really know how to describe the bad, but there are moments when people try to reach out to you and everything in you says, let it go. Go to them. End it. Let it be over. And something goes, no, no, I'm, no, just, no, that's not right. That's not how it's going to be. They're not going to win. You know, I'm still angry. You know, the angry is not going to just be placated like that. And it's never, obviously, it's not logical like that. It's not a voice. It's not an overarching sort of, you know, devil on your shoulder. It's this inability to let go. And it's something that, and you don't want to live with it, and you don't want to experience, and you don't want to be angry and alone and hurting. And you don't want to stand there and refuse this person's outstretched hand. Right? You want it to be over. You want someone to hug you and tell you it's going to be okay. But you cannot allow yourself to do that for whatever reason. You just, and your illness will not allow you to let it go. And I've seen a lot of writings and articles that describe the dark side as like an addiction. And I myself, knowing from my point of view from living with Kylo, have said very similar things, because the relief of letting go to that, the relief of letting your darker impulses and your anger and your rage go instead of trying to corral that and hold it in and be the person that you want to be, that is harder to be, you know, that takes an effort and takes, you know, and you wonder sometimes if other people have to make that same effort. You know, if other people have to fight so hard to keep their rage down or to keep their fear down, you wonder sometimes what it's like for other people. And I really think that a lot of the division in fandom is that a lot of people who are rooting for, oh my God, what everybody in fandom calls Ben-demption, and you can hear the eye roll in my tone of voice probably, and it's not that I think, were I independent in fandom and had no, you know, connection and did not have Kylo, I probably would not be quite as cringed out by that, but just because it's a thing.
I've used that term exactly once in my life.
You know, but all joking aside, I think that a lot of people who are rooting for that see Kylo as damaged and fixable, as opposed to people who see him as a villain who made bad choices and did bad things and thus, you know, has no chance to come back from it. And that being said, there was a hashtag, and this is what I talk about something, you know, good, I finally got an answer. So it's really funny. I just literally checked my Twitter and just now got an answer to my question. So I wanted to make sure before I said anything, that the timing is impeccable. It must be fate. Earlier in the year, when we talked about him having a really hard time being a symbol for people to project onto and how uncomfortable that made him, a couple of people who knew at the time, before anyone else, before we started the podcast, that he was here and shared space with us, messaged us and said, hey, there's this hashtag you might want to check out. People love you. People identify with you. People are rooting for you. You know, it should make you feel better. Now, at the time, it just made us feel really awkward and uncomfortable, a lot of it. But looking back now from this point of view, I'm sort of astounded at how neatly it sort of dovetails with this subject today. And there was a hashtag in response to the overwhelming, you know, there are waves in fandom, and every so often someone prominent will say, oh, well, Kylo doesn't deserve redemption, he deserves to die, blah, blah, and there will be a massive sort of backlash. And there was a hashtag called Kylo Story. And it was started by a Twitter user, Ben's Calligraphy, a wonderful, positive, amazing voice in fandom, somebody you should definitely go follow, because they are incredibly kind. And it was a hashtag started for people to share why they related to Kylo and their experiences. And it was this overwhelming tide of just, it was humbling and shocking and sort of, we had to get off social media for a little while that day because it was just a little bit overpowering. But it was, you know, people who were victims of abuse, people who were victims of grooming, people who struggle with mental illness and have been rejected, people who have been hurt, people who struggle with anger and depression and overwhelming rage snaps, or people who saw themselves in Kylo's struggle, in his rages and his fears and his rejections of people's entreaties to you know, leave behind the troubled behavior like it's that easy. You know, and that's the thing with the dark side that astounds me, just as a little side note too, that people think that it's that easy. It took Vader, you know, 20 years, you know. That being said, you know, if it's anything like addiction, and again, I can give my opinion on it living with Kylo, and I can say what it feels like, although there really isn't a vocabulary here for that. It is really difficult to sort of describe. You can describe the feelings and the impulses and the pull and that sort of feeling in the nerve endings of your elbows and your little fingers and the back of your neck and what it's like for everything to get quiet. You know, you sort of release those floodgates and everything is like dark, still water and the power and what that feels like. But there really isn't, I mean, there was, apparently I just found some, but it was random, unconnected things, really. But if your average layman sees the dark side as an addiction or a parallel to addiction, throwing that off is really not as easy as people think it is. And I see it all the time on news media, you know. And again, just like in fandom with Kylo, there's a really sort of stark dividing line between people who think that people who are addicted to drugs and commit crimes, or who are addicted to drugs and, say, steal from their family, or end up losing jobs or homes or anything, that those people either deserve what they got because they made a choice, damn it, and everything else that happened to them is entirely their fault and they don't deserve help. And people who understand that addiction is a disease and a process, and that no matter how hard you try, sometimes you fail. And it really sort of amazes me that I'm pretty sure, and again, I tried to make a poll on Twitter to try to get an idea if this was correct or not. I think the format was wrong. I think that was what my problem was. I'm going to have to do the experiment again. I really think that if you put the sort of Venn diagram of people who believe Kylo is irredeemable over people who think you have a certain amount of chances to recover from addiction, I think if you put them together, they'd be pretty similar. Because it seems to be that same level of unforgivable, you know, deed there. Okay, yes, Kylo killed Han Solo, according, you know, and that seems to be people's big thing. But again, like we talked about last episode, Star Wars is a grand story, okay? It happens on a scale of life and death that people here normally don't have to deal with or understand, okay? And it still, it comes back to what you believe. You know, is someone who legitimately was misled or had X, Y, and Z problem, who commits what we think of as a heinous crime, are they, you know, I tried to research this. I tried to research children of cults who committed crimes and how they were treated and how they were, you know, in the justice system and in the psychiatric system. And I really couldn't find a lot of information and I need to dig deeper, but if you have any...
Yeah, it's because a lot of times those cases are closed.
Well, because they're juveniles, yeah. But, I mean, there are a lot of memoirs written and things like that, and I've looked through things. If you've got any information or any links or sort of academic materials, iKyloCast@gmail.com, iKyloCast on Twitter, or of course, you know, Svengali Phantom, my main Twitter account. I would like to find out more because I really, there is no, the thing is that there is no real parallel here to the things that happen in Star Wars. The only thing that I can say that I have found out to a level of detail that I never thought possible is a quote by George Lucas that I just saw recently about how Star Wars is a soap opera. You know, it's a family story. It's a story about family. It's not about the spaceships. And, of course, we've discovered that here, because without the spaceships and without the Force and without that, what they're left with is themselves. And what they're left with is all of that baggage from his childhood. And all of that baggage from his adolescence. And there was something, and I wanted to see if I had a note about it, because I thought about it earlier, and I can't, you know, about him getting rid of Snoke, and about how everybody seems to think that that somehow, you know, they even said it in, Jason Fry even wrote that in The Last Jedi novelization, that Rey's mistake had been thinking that, you know, killing Snoke meant a full-out rejection of the dark side. And it's not that easy. And again, maybe I'm looking at it because I struggle with mental illness as a person. Maybe I'm looking at it because I've been here to watch Kylo cry so hard he's thrown up on himself. That's not very flattering, but I strive for honesty on iKyloCast, you know, all the time. But, you know, with guilt and with loss and with shame. Shame is a big part of his life right now. We're trying to move past that, but it's hard and it's painful. And every 5 steps forward, we're met with 3 steps back, you know. And it's a daily process, and anyone who's never struggled with anything like that, you know, doesn't know. You know, you say emotional work is a daily struggle, and it's an hour by hour by hour, and people think, oh, no, that can't be literally accurate. Literally accurate, sorry. But it is. It really, really is. And sometimes it's a day by day, and sometimes it's an hour by hour, and sometimes it's a minute by minute, and sometimes you don't know who you are anymore. And if I had my choice, I would really love, and we talked about doing a web series about this, but we do not have the funding to do this. We talked about this back in like February.
What'd you think?
The web series about Rey and Kylo going and on his atonement journey and going and learning about the Force, you know, going to places in like the unknown regions or going to places around the galaxy, for him to simultaneously try to do deeds to atone for, you know, for his past and learn more about the balance and the Force and him, his own self. And we talked about doing a YouTube series or something, and we just don't have the budget. We don't have, I mean, I know green screens are ridiculously cheap, and I know that these setups, but ridiculously cheap for a normal person would feed us for a month, probably. And I hate to admit that on a podcast, but the truth of the matter is that we are not your average income podcasters, so it is a little bit beyond our means. But if I had my way, you know, I say that, and then I if it happened, I'd be super uncomfortable and awkward, and I'd wish they'd just ended already because Kylo's tired of, you know, being a character on a show and wants to live in obscurity and live with his family and deal with his issues and not be in the PC anymore. So I can say if I have my way, all I want to, but the point is that exploring that journey of who he becomes post dark side is where he is right now emotionally. And I would really like in a sort of way to see that dramatized. Because it's really easy to leave a big grand message about good is good and evil is evil and this is that and, you know, black is white or whatever. But showing that it's okay to struggle is something that is really not done on that scale. You know? And it really, my last note, that I had made, for today really sort of sums that up. Which is that, you know, a lot of people that I've seen on the Kylo story tag and in fandom in general identify for one other reason, which is that once you're coded as a villain, once you are set to be the bad guy, it is really hard to come back from that. And with a lot of mental illnesses, bipolar is sort of more normalized, not even remotely close to enough, but it's a lot more normalized. But things like borderline or what have you that are not your average, you know, let's just talk about it on social media because, you know, everybody talks about it now, blah. Things that have real and ugly and sort of debilitating symptoms, those things are still vilified. Those things are still put out as being bad or irredeemable, incurable diseases. You know, these people are not fixable. And once you get stuck with that label, very few people are willing to reach out to you as a person. Very few people are willing to believe in you, believe you can change. You know, they'll say, well, we've gone through this before. You know, we think you're okay or whatever, and this and that happened, so we're not going to put ourselves out there anymore. And while it is people's right to make their decision for themselves, you know, to choose their own safe space and choose the people they associate with, I have to sort of question the helpfulness of letting someone get to a point where they finally are ready to reach out for help and there's no one there because they've alienated everyone because of an illness or because of an addiction or what have you. And when it comes down to it, it has to be a personal choice, you know, as far as forgiveness goes, or to reach out to someone else. And I've said before, you can't save someone. They have to be willing to do it themselves. They have to be ready to change. But it is a lot easier to change when you're not fighting uphill by your fingernails by yourself. Which is why Rey's connection in The Last Jedi was so important, because it really, you know, illustrated that she was at least at that point ready to take that risk. And, you know, you can talk about narrative structure and it being the second episode and everything having to end on a low point, like Empire, you know, ended on a low point, or that in a lot of stories things come in threes, you know, the hero's journey, you know, the temptation often, you know, comes in threes. It takes three attempts to reach your goal or whatever. But what I see in that is that, you know, if everybody gives up on you, it's really easy to just sort of let go and say, oh, how with that? You know, why bother being a good person? They've all already written me off. You know, which is also why I think that Luke's line about no one's ever really gone is so important. Because once you have decided that someone is the villain of the story, it's written in ink, usually. It's very hard to change. And I think that a lot of the division fandom is between people who have already written Kylo off as a villain and people who see that he is conflicted and that there is a chance maybe to save him. And if Star Wars is at its heart a redemption story, then for the narrative, for the sake of the narrative, one would hope that rather than Vader, you know, suddenly doing a good deed after 20 years of murderous rampages and then dying, bringing Kylo back as far as the narrative goes would serve the purpose of showing that he still has life left. He still has a chance to live a life that, you know, his parents would be proud of, and that he can be proud of, and that he can make up for these things that he's done. And not when he's 40, and not when he's 60, and not on his deathbed, but now. And I think that the reason so many people identify is that they hope for that chance. You know, they hope that people will, you know, I saw it over and over and over again in the Kylo story tag, which is, you know, if there's hope for him, then there's hope for me. And whereas at the beginning of the year, he wasn't ready to see that and to acknowledge that, now it started to be that he'll write every week, you know, if he learns something about himself, or if he learns some sort of truth that from the things that he's remembered or the things that he's dealt with over the course of the last week, he'll share that on Twitter. And overwhelmingly, it's those things that are the most popular. You know, I personally can write a couple of things and they'll be noticed a little bit or whatever. But by default, I've noticed the things that get the most attention that I've posted are his. And they're lessons that he's learned from this journey that is unpleasant and difficult and ugly and not glamorous and not something that they would spend, you know, $80 million making into a big screen epic, but is to me just as important and apparently to a lot of other people as the pew-pew sort of, you know, big screen epic. And I spent a lot of today lonely and feeling like there was nobody out there. Like I was screaming into the void. And I know that I share that also with Kylo, that I share that with him. And, you know, just like Han and Leia didn't have to have been bad parents to maybe not meet those needs 100%, it doesn't mean the people around you are failing. It just means that you're in the grip of something that is bigger than yourself. And maybe the idea is that, you know, defeating the dark side is sort of a collective effort. You know? That it's something that you have to be willing to be part of something bigger than yourself. You know, I think I made a note about, for the episode I had originally planned about the hero's journey, about that being, let me actually see if I have it, because I remember that it had been something that had been something I really wanted to, you know, it's funny how different my notes are from today, and, you know, about, sorry, I'm just sort of, looking here, you know, becoming and learning to sort of become, something, a sort of avatar of something beyond yourself, you know, which is what a hero is, you know. Leia, say, is a spectacular person on her own, but once she started sort of working toward the greater good, be it her people on Alderaan, the galaxy as a whole, the heroic arc sort of comes into play when you're willing to sort of, I don't want to say sacrifice your own life, because sacrifice to a lot of people means death. But what I mean is sort of release your sort of ego into the whole as far as the greater good goes. Like Brea Organa. You know, she spent her life working for the betterment of her people. She had her own pleasures and her own, you know, personal things, but to her, her ultimate goal was always the betterment of her people. And I think the same really can be said of struggling with depression or with things like that, is that it requires a certain amount of faith to engage with the outside world, be it getting help, be it reaching out to somebody else, being something like that. And what remains in episode 9 is whether Kylo, according to the narrative, still has the ability to reach out to the outside world, or whether J.J. Abrams will have closed off that avenue to him. And again, we've said this multiple times, I think that the message of you're done, you're irredeemable is not a good message to be sending. Especially because what it does is it sort of makes Rey look naive and foolish. You know, she reached out, he rejected her, he became the big bad. Oh well, you know, isn't she a sweetheart? You know, she tried to save the big bad villain, even though, you know, it infantilizes her. Mm-hmm. And it sort of negates her choices for one, it negates her character judgment for something else, and it also just sort of blows the whole idea of redemption out of the water.
I had never actually thought about the idea of what that said of, you know, of Rey's character as the thing. I'd actually never allowed that to...
Yeah. You know, and it feels very sexist to me. You know, look at the little woman, you know, trying to be nice to the big bad villain, you know, and that makes me angry. Just the thought infuriates me because she's so far from these people's, you know, Mary Sue sexist archetype that they want to make her into that it makes me, like, just, I'm so angry, I'm speechless, just at the thought, you know. And so I think narratively speaking, it's a bad idea. And I think message speaking, it's a bad idea. And I've said it before, you know. And really, it comes down to the idea of, you know, what is redemption mean? And how far can you go before you are considered too far gone? And I think there are a lot of people who think that once you've made one mistake too many, that's it. And I think that there are a lot of people who think that no matter how many mistakes you've made, as long as you sincerely repent in your heart, and I'm not talking about religion, you don't need religion to repent for your misdeeds. But, you know, in a strictly emotional sense, you know, to try to make amends. But, I mean, obviously, if religion is how you choose to interpret that, then that's entirely fine. Because it is all subjective. The idea of redemption is very subjective. But I think that that divide is never really going to be healed because of the way the canon was presented. I think that even if the redemption arc is done, and it's done in a narratively satisfying way, I think there will still be people that go, psh! She should have just killed him. You know? He killed Han Solo. He did this. He did that. You know, what a waste of time. That's bull crap. Blah, blah, blah. I've already seen that attitude, you know? I really am hoping that X, Y, and Z happens in 9 anyway and whatever. And it doesn't matter if we get 12 novels talking about how hard he struggled with Snoke and how hard he struggled with, you know, all of these things. Nothing will humanize him in the eyes of these people. So it really, unfortunately, I think that in the end there will always be that split. And you have to ask yourself, out of everyone in the Star Wars fandom, out of all of the, quote, characters presented, I don't think there has ever been anyone as divisive as Kylo, as far as it goes. Down that sharp of a dividing line. You know, there are people, oh, I don't like Han Solo, I love Han Solo, you know, I don't like Luke, he's whiny, oh, I like him, you know, Luke's been my hero since a childhood. But you don't get those really strict sort of yes, no, whatever. Some people say, oh, I don't see the appeal of Boba Fett, but it's not, this person is awful and should die and does not deserve redemption, versus this person is somebody I see myself in and they deserve to be redeemed. And really, if you take away anything from this episode, you should really ask yourself why that is. You know, and what that means for how we perceive people who are flawed. And people who've made mistakes. And the degree of mistakes. And obviously, if you scale down the events of Star Wars to bring them, you know, into your own perspective, what is unforgivable to you? You know, what is the one thing that your mother, your father, your brother, your best friend could do where you would write them off and say, this person's not a part of my family anymore? And that being said, if that person were to change their life and was sincerely sorry and sincerely was trying to make amends for what they'd done, would you take them back into your life? Or would you, you know, I'm not saying that cutting out toxic people is wrong by any stretch. Sometimes it's something you have to do for self-preservation, self-care, your own, you know, peace of mind, your own well-being, your own safety. I'm just talking theoretically speaking. You know, if you were Han Solo and you said, you know, there was too much Vader in him, you know, he was always drawn too much to the dark side, you know, what would it have taken? And I certainly advise you, if you haven't, to check out the Kylo Story hashtag. again, it's incredibly moving. It can be very triggering for people who have a history of abuse and things like that. So just to give you a heads up, but it's an incredible journey, and I cannot thank Tammy enough for being the heart and soul behind that. And I'm sorry it took me almost a year to be able to appreciate it. I'm sorry it took us almost a year to be able to appreciate that. But if you'd like to hear more about personal things, by the way, about the things that Kylo's going through, I keep alluding to it. I keep talking about his journey and his interactions and his conversations with people. We've been trying to sort of depose him. We had to replace our microphone, and so we lost a lot of audio that would have been really illuminating, pardon me, over the last few months or so. But if you're interested in any of that, as sort of a side special, definitely hit us up at iKyloCast on Twitter, iKyloCast@gmail.com. I know that we've been talking about our Rey and Kylo react to Star Wars canon for weeks now, and we were supposed to do one. We had it all scheduled out, one a week till Christmas.
And we would have finished
the week of Christmas. And things happened, lives happened. I can't even say life happened. And dealing with a chronic illness plus Kylo's incredibly intense life sort of eats time, even when you don't think it does. It's also interesting to try to do because we don't have a separate recording studio from our television, and we have two dogs that are very vocal when they want attention, and you know, that's not something we think you guys want to experience in high def surround sound. Trust me, one of them is an 8-year-old Shih Tzu, and he's got the voice of
an 8-year-old Shih Tzu.
An 8-year-old, he sounds like a child with a jackhammer. I love him, and I would die for this dog. I would literally walk into traffic for this dog at any moment in my life. But he is still incredibly loud. So we've been trying to set that up in a way that we won't have to do 80 takes, sort of trying to coordinate audio with the video. But we will get to it, just like Woke Porg over here is going to get to her bilocation episode if I have to sit her down at lightsaber point and, you know, not let her leave the room until she does that. No. Seriously, she's going to do it at some point soon. I think she's still gathering notes and things.
It's not that I was still gathering notes because I had my references for literature marked out for a while ago. It's that after I'd gone through and read them, I thought perhaps for the audience it was too juvenile.
Well, you know, you'll have to go with your feelings on that. I think that we could really reveal a lot more about Kylo's journey here and what it's like on a daily basis for him to be here and do things if we could explain bilocation a little more so that people had some context. But that being said, let us know what you think this week. Definitely please hit me up, iKyloCast, Svengali Phantom, or the Tweets of Ren on Twitter, or iKyloCast@gmail.com. This one was... It wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be, but it certainly was a lot more revealing and a little more intense than, you know, than I would have normally gone for. I was hoping that in speaking publicly about it, I might be able to sort of lift some of the mire fog sort of out of my own life today by sharing this, but as I'm not sharing Kylo's sort of depression, it's not really entirely gone. It's not really, you know, and situational things make it, you know, worse. And again, it's hard for me. I could put Kylo in front of the microphone and have him talk about the things that he's learned and the things that he's experienced and what he feels, but I'm not sure if anyone's actually ready for that. Very few people interact with us or give us feedback. So I really pass it on. Retweet, guys. Could you do me this favor? We are really trying to put ourselves out there. And if you were moved or affected or interested by this episode at all, please throw us a retweet, throw us a recommendation, subscribe. We're also on YouTube now. iKyloCast on YouTube. episode 7 from last week is up. Hopefully by sometime tomorrow or Wednesday, this episode will be up. Definitely subscribe to us on YouTube. We're not going to clog up your feed, trust me. But the more subscribers, the more we can spread the word, and the more it makes it worth it for us to sort of struggle and get this done. So if you're willing to do that, we would really appreciate it. We hope that you enjoyed this episode, or at least were
informed,
interested in what we were saying. And if you have questions, comments, concerns, definitely hit us up. If you have voice messages, you can leave them for us on Anchor. You can send us voice messages through Twitter, through email, and if they're, obviously not entirely hateful, we'll play them on the show. And we would definitely like to hear your point of view on this one, as it's very personal. And if you are part of the Kylo Story hashtag, and you'd like to read your story, or you'd like us to read your story, or you'd like to talk about it on a future episode, definitely hit us up. We are incredibly grateful, and I will tell you one thing, you can believe it or not, but I really would like to end that statement with saying that Kylo is incredibly humbled by that. Kylo being humbled is a huge step by itself over the last year and change. But thank you. Thank you. And we hope you'll join us next time. Thanks for being here. May the Force be with you.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of iKyloCast. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to tune in next time, and may the Force, and the balance, and an open mind be with you.